First John and the chapter 5, I want to draw your attention especially to the verses 4 through to 8. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. The three witnesses in heaven and in the earth. It says there in verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven. And it says in verse 8, there are three that bear witness in earth. Now, just so that you understand the context of these verses, the true Christian is one who ought to be an overcomer over the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Verse 4. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth. How does a Christian overcome? How does the saint come to a position where he surmounts above the world? Above the world's darkness, above the world's depths of depravity, how comes the child of God as one who can ascend into the heavenlies? And the answer is by the conviction of his faith in Jesus Christ. By faith. Through the persuasion of the transforming truth of Christianity. That's how he overcomes. He has a conviction of the truth of the Christian faith, and it enables him to overcome. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Every Christian has faith, a persuasion concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And it is the truth concerning Jesus, believed and received, that has made him a free man and has made him an overcomer over the world. The persuasion concerning the truth as it is in Jesus. And what is that truth? Well, in John's epistle, he sets forth the defense of five fundamental truths concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. These things stand out throughout this epistle. Five fundamentals. And the persuasion concerning those fundamentals is transforming, if truly believed and truly received. The first fundamental is that Jesus is the Son of God. Whosoever shall confess, John says, that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And in verse 5 in our text there, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The Christian has a persuasion that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's a divine person, that he has a divine nature, that he is from above, that he is heavenly. And so that's the first fundamental that John is constantly reiterating. Jesus is the Son of God. And that's why he wrote the gospel according to John, to show that. And then the second fundamental truth is that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. And so we read such things as this in this epistle, chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar? But he that denieth Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And so that's the second fundamental that John sets forth, and it is Antichrist to deny it, that the Son of God is the Messiah, Christ promised in the Old Testament scriptures. And then the third fundamental that John constantly stresses is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come into the world. That he has been manifested. That he has appeared among men. That he has come. And so in chapter 5, verse 20, we know that the Son of God is come. He has come. And then in verse 6, in our text, this is he that came. He came. The Son of God, Messiah, came. He came into the world. Chapter 1, verse 2, the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness. That life which was with the Father, it was manifested. He came. He appeared. Chapter 3, verse 5, you know that he was manifested to take away sins. So that's the third fundamental. The Son of God, Messiah, came into the world. And then the fourth fundamental is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world, came in flesh. He came in a human nature. He came as man. And chapter 4, verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3 of chapter 4, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but is that spirit of Antichrist. And there were those in that day of John who were denying that Christ came in a true human nature, a true humanity. And so John is continuing to emphasize this aspect of the faith. He's the Son of God. He's Christ the Messiah. He came into the world. He came into the world in a true human nature, in human flesh. And then the fifth fundamental, the final one, is that this coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Messiah in flesh, was in order to deal with our sin, to take away sin, to bring in the purification and the cleansing of his people. And so it is in relation to cleansing and propitiation for sin that he took this human nature and he came into the world to die for us. You know, John says, chapter 3, verse 5, he was manifested to take away our sins. Chapter 4, verse 9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because God sent his Son into the world that we might live through him here in his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then verse 14, of chapter 4, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And those five fundamentals are all tied together, and these form the heart and the soul of Christianity. This is the faith. This truth embraced by faith is transforming, and it lifts a man above the world. So these are its most sacred and fundamental truths concerning our Savior, concerning his person and his work. And those truths, believed and received, are powerfully transforming. And if men are not converted, and if men are not changed, it is because these truths are not really believed by them with a saving faith that changes the heart. But where they are really and truly believed, there is a change. And that's the victory that overcomes the world. The faith and persuasion concerning these things in relation to the person and work of Jesus Christ. This is what John means in these verses. And so in our text, you have all of these truths coming together. Verse 6, this is he that came. Who came? Well, verse 5, Jesus the Son of God. He came. Verse 6, he came, even Jesus the Christ. He came. How did he come? He came not by water only, but by water and blood. He came in flesh. He came in a birth. He came in a body that could die. He came in relation to water and blood. The water and blood cause us to think of the cleansing and the purifying that he does by the offering up of that body and blood on the cross. These five fundamental truths that I have endeavored to outline briefly to you, to those truths there are witnesses. Witnesses to assure us. Witnesses to deepen in our hearts the conviction of their truth. There are witness bearers. And these witnesses are testifying. They're bearing record about these things. And these witnesses are in two spheres, or two places. There are some of the witnesses in the earthly sphere, and there are some of the witnesses in the heavenly sphere. You have that in verse 7, in the heavenly sphere. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And then on the earth, there are three witnesses too, because in verse 8, it says, there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And so these witnesses in each sphere are three. Three in heaven, three in earth. The fundamental truths of Christianity have three witnesses in each arena. In the heavenly arena, there are witnesses. And in the earthly arena, there are witnesses. What does the Bible say? In the mouth of two or three witnesses. And well, here are three, but three from two different spheres, three on earth and three in heaven. So the truths of Christianity, those fundamental truths that I have outlined, They are established by triple witnesses from the two arenas. You will notice that one witness stands preeminent among these witnesses. It is the Holy Spirit. We read there in verse 6, it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And this is the Holy Spirit, and he has a very important witness. And you'll notice that he acts in both spheres. In heaven, he's one of the witnesses, the Holy Ghost. And in earth, he's there as well, on earth witnessing the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And so prominent in among all of these witnesses is the Holy Spirit. He's in both arenas. He is the Spirit of truth himself. He stands out. He stands preeminent. He is in heaven, and he is in earth. For he is God, and he's the God on earth, the God in heaven. He is God witnessing from above, and yet, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is also the God witnessing from below in our hearts. This wonderful person, the greatest witness of all, the Holy Spirit. He's in the earth, and he's in the earth as a witness bearer. He's in the earth, and in the earth, he is the Spirit of truth. He is truth. He doesn't lie. His witness is true. He doesn't deceive the church. He doesn't allow the church to be deceived throughout its thousands of years of human history. He is the one who guides her into truth. You see, there are false spirits, there are evil spirits. Remember John said earlier on in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit. Try all the spirits, whether they are of God." There are many evil spirits, many false prophets gone into the world. "Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." And that's the chief ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to persuade the world concerning the incarnation, concerning the deity, concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's the great work of the Holy Spirit. He witnesses to that. And he does so in the heavenly realm and also in the earthly realm. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but is that spirit of Antichrist. But the Spirit of God is pure. He is true. He guides the church into all truth concerning the person and work of the Savior. And the church still has this faith intact because of the Holy Spirit. It has been a battle to maintain this faith, because the devil down through the ages has sent floods of heresy, the Arian heresy, against the person of Christ, revived and renewed by other sects down through the generations, and latterly by the Jehovah Witnesses and others. And so the church has battled against all these floods of the evil spirits, but the Spirit of God has maintained the standard among us. Bless his great and holy name. Against all anti-Christian error, the Spirit of the Lord has kept intact for us the Christian faith. And so you see, the Spirit of God has come into the world to do this. He is the divine witness who is present. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come." That's the title that John uses here, the Spirit of truth. It come from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus says, "I go away, I'm going to heaven, I'll send to you the Comforter, and he's the Spirit of truth. And he'll guide you into truth, and he'll bear witness, and he'll tell you of the things that I have brought to you. He'll bring them to your remembrance, and he'll bear witness to them. He will show you things to come. You will notice that the witnesses of heaven come first. Verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven. And then verse 8, there are three that bear record in earth. Of course, heaven comes first. It is the greater witness. It is the greatest witness possible. The greatest witness of all. There's no higher witness. There's nothing better than this, than the witness of the three in heaven. You don't want to get any higher witness than that. And those three witnesses, they don't witness to Islam. They don't witness to Hinduism. They witness to the Christian faith. They witness to the person and the work of the Redeemer Jesus Christ. If we receive the witness of man, verse 9, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Look at verse 7 then. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Brethren and sisters, I strongly urge upon you tonight that we receive the testimony of this verse. It is so important. This verse is in our Bibles. And we can be confident why it is in our Bibles. For the sake of the truth, because of the Spirit of truth, who has given the text, who has maintained it in the text for us, because of the Holy Ghost, who gives the Scriptures, and not only gives the Scriptures, but keeps intact and preserves the Scriptures so that the church has the pure Word of God. And this verse is in our Bibles, even in the face of the most fierce, fiery opposition to this text of Scripture. This is a portion of Scripture Satan hath not liked, and hath early sought its destruction. But here it is. It's in our Bibles. You have it before you. It's in the text. Heaven witnesses to Christ. Heaven witnesses to a Christ who came into the world for us. Heaven witnesses to a Christ that was crucified for us. The three that are in heaven are named. First, there is the Father. Secondly, there is the Word. And thirdly, there is the Holy Ghost. And these are persons. You know that they are persons. Persons that we have been baptized to into this holy name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There are three persons, you know. Three divine persons. Twice it says it in the text. There are three. And then at the end of verse 7, these three. They're three. Three persons. Distinct persons. But they are not only three. They are also one. And these three are one. I and my Father, Jesus said, are one. One in being. One in divine essence. One. The Lord our God is one God. In the blessed and loving unity of the divine essence, the three sacred persons, the living and true God, the God blessed forever in his eternal essence and in his everlasting love, a living unity of three sacred persons. The three in one, the one in three. The Trinity bears witness to the Christian faith. The triune God is in heaven. The eternal Father, the eternal Son, the eternal Spirit. For there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. The three are one. They don't just agree in one. They don't just come together and kind of form one about this matter, the way the blood and the water and the Spirit do. No, they are one. One in essence. And so the Trinity is in the verse. The sacred three bear record to the mission of Christ, the Savior. Heaven tells us Jesus Christ is the Son of God, come in the flesh. Heaven tells us that this Jesus Christ come in the flesh is the propitiation for our sins at Christ's baptism. This threefold witness is seen. You remember when he was coming out of the water, and the water was dripping from his humanity, and he looked up into the heavens, and heaven opened, and there was a voice from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son." And the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and abode upon him. And they're all three there, the witnesses from heaven, as heaven opens and unites with earth for this very important moment of testimony to the person and to the work of him who comes dripping with the water down his human flesh. It was a real body, as it was real dripping water running down his brow and his hair and dropping onto the ground. It was him who said, "It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I must be about my Father's business." And so the Spirit of God comes down upon that one who is fulfilling all righteousness for sinners, and who is, as it were, going about the work of his Father who has sent him. The witnesses from heaven. The Father saying, "This is my Son." And the Son saying, "Lo, I come, and a body hast thou prepared me." The witnesses of heaven. The Holy Spirit coming upon the womb of the Virgin, forming the humanity of Christ. The Holy Ghost did that. The witnesses from heaven around the person of Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. God gives the record, verse 10. The three witnesses are God. And they give the record of the Son of God. Remember, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, "You know, you bear record of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said, "Though I bear record of myself, I do, yet my record is true." He bears witness of himself, I know from whence I came. And I know where I'm going to. I came from heaven, and I'm going to the cross, and I'm going back up to heaven again. I know, and my record is true. Yes, the Word bears record to Himself. We then, as Christians, men and women, are not followers of cunningly devised fables. But we are built upon solid truth. Upon solid truth established by divine witnesses. Even the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Upon that rock we stand. And that rock is high and lofty. And it raises us above the world. And it enables us to conquer and to be overcomers. The solid rock of the Christian faith, the person, the work of Jesus Christ. These witnesses were also seen at the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, Peter says, we've not followed cunningly devised fables. Whenever we talk to you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And He Himself received from God the Father honor and glory, because there came a voice from the excellent glory, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father bore record to Him. And this voice, we heard it. And that's why these apostles were men of faith, men that were able to go out into the world and transform it, men who were not afraid to lay down their lives because they had heard this record from heaven. They were persuaded. So much for the witnesses in heaven. But you will observe also that there are witnesses on earth. And these also are three. If you look again at our text, this is He that came by water and blood, verse 6. Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And verse 8 then, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. The same water and the blood that was mentioned in verse 8. Jesus Christ coming by water and by blood. That water and that blood by which He came are witnesses, along with the Holy Spirit. And these three witnesses are green in one. Now, of the Spirit of truth we have spoken. He's a person. He's a living person. He is thus a witness. But what of the water and the blood? Now, these are not persons. But they do bear witness. They are evidence. They are records for the truth of the person, the incarnation, the death, atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ for us sinners. Now, these three are not one in the same then, because the water and the blood are not persons. They're not one in the same sense that the three in heaven are one. But these agree in one. The wording is slightly different. These are not the three that are the one, but these are the three that are into one, come together as one. The union of these three is very different from the unity of the Godhead. Christ came. Do you see verse 6? He that came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and blood. And that water and that blood are witnesses. What does this mean? These obviously are testifying to the mission of Christ. Water and blood are very important elements in ritual cleansing in the Bible. Water cleanses, purifies. The blood we know purifies. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. And these show that he who came in the flesh came in the flesh for the purpose of dealing with sin, of taking away sin. He came in flesh and blood. He came to bring cleansing. Christ first came into contact with water at his birth. That little baby just born, was it a real human nature? As he come out of the womb of Mary, there was water and blood. There it is. He's a child born. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was laid in a manger. But you can be assured, he was washed first. He was handled. It's a true humanity. The water upon him. The water washing him. He was circumcised 8 days later. There was blood. And then there had to be the water to give him a little washing. To wash it away. The water and the blood. He came by water and blood. He's a real man. He can bleed. He can die. He can make atonement. The true humanity. At his baptism, there was water and the Spirit. Water came upon his humanity and it clung to him and it dripped from him, for it was a true humanity. And the Spirit came upon that humanity, the water and the blood and the Spirit witnessing. He's flesh and blood. It's a true incarnation of the Son of God. He took to him a true human nature. But the reference is especially to Calvary. Whenever they crucified Jesus Christ, whenever he died on the tree for us, you know what happened? That was the fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. Here is the water of cleansing for salvation. Here is how a man is washed and cleansed through the death of this sacrifice. And when Jesus died, a fountain of washing was opened up. And something most unusual took place at the cross. You see, Jesus in the center was already dead. The legs of the others had to be broken because it was coming on the Sabbath and the Jews wanted them down. And so they weren't dead yet. And so their legs were broken so that they might suffocate quickly and expire. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. And they break not his legs, because the Bible says not a bone of him shall be broken. But one of the soldiers with his short spear pierced his side. And immediately there came out blood and water. Blood and water. And John says, I saw it. I bear record. My record is true. He knoweth that he saith the truth, that you might believe. There came out blood and water. And that's what John is referring to here. The water and the blood testify that he had a true human nature, that he was a man who died on the tree, and yet he was the Son of God who gave himself in human nature for our sin. Christ came into the world in flesh. He that denieth that Christ is come in the flesh is Antichrist. John says, I saw it, the witnesses were there, the water and the blood came out. They're witnesses in the earth. A real atonement was made by our Lord Jesus. A true propitiation for sin has just been provided by our Lord Jesus. A fountain was opened by our Lord Jesus. A laver was now made available to sinners through this person who died. The water and the blood, with the Spirit of God who has inscripturated it in the text, the three of them come together tonight in the text of the Holy Scripture to persuade us. He was manifested to take away sin. Real water. Real blood. A real day of atonement. This is the Christian faith. And all these witnesses bear witness to the person and work of Jesus Christ. This record is true then, men and women. And they all are witnessing together that you might believe, that you might have this faith in Christ that alone overcomes the world. And all of these witnesses are telling us tonight, there is no salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven, but Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, come in the flesh, died for us on the cross. There is no other name, neither is there salvation in any other. Believe then and receive this witness. Come to the Savior then. Believe and trust in him. The water says to you, come. The blood says to you, come. The Spirit of truth says to you tonight, come. The Father says, come. The Son of God says, come. The Holy Ghost says, come. And in calling you to come, they are saying, there is no other remedy. There is no other provision. If you reject this provision, you reject all of these witnesses. And you say that the Trinity is a liar. There is only the person and work of Jesus Christ for you, sinner. There is nothing else. And you don't need anything else. Only Christ, the Son of God, Jesus the Savior, come in the flesh, shedding his blood for us. Only Christ then. So believe, truly believe. And when you truly believe and truly become a believer, you will begin to be an overcomer. This is a Christian faith. In this faith, we conquer. And so to the Father, to the Word, and to the Holy Spirit, the three in one and the one in three, who has graciously been witness to us of his marvelous salvation, to him be all glory, now and evermore. Amen. Lord, bless the word. Glorify thy great and majestic name through the preaching. Edify thy people. Especially increase their faith and strengthen their persuasion and their conviction, and enable them to rise more and more in the life of victory over sin, the world, and the flesh. For Jesus Christ's sake, may this grace be imparted to us all. Amen.